slamming.
I don't need a mic. My wife tells me to tone it down all the time.
So. You're not at home now. You're free.
That's all right. I'm free.
We won't get
it. All right. I was just scribbling down as we were learning in the morning, so I heard a little bit and heard not. But we started off in the dorm, so we triggered a thought. You have in the parsha this week, Vayitzof HaYishav Leimor. And the problem is that Moshe is complaining to Klal Yisrael, and he says some very unbelievable things. And of course, last week's parsha, when we had Matnah, I don't mean yesterday, I don't mean Devarim, but way back in Matos Maseh, the problem is brought up that all these mitzvos, I mean, Devarim is chock full of mitzvos. In Kiseitze, you have like 65 mitzvos. You have, I think, 12% of all the mitzvos in the Torah are in one parsha in Kiseitze. It's all the way right before the last month of Moshe's life. And how in the world all the mitzvos you mentioned Friday, Rabbi Levine mentioned on Friday about the Gershin and Yevama, you know, Yevamis, all these things are at the end, are new mitzvos that we never heard before. What was the rationale for Moshe to leave in reality? What was the rationale for Moshe to leave all these mitzvos behind till the last month of his death? You mean for 40 years they were in the Midbar, and basically what we're told by so many Mefarshim, that basically Moshe gave the mitzvahs to Klal Yisrael on a need-to-know basis. That's what some of the Mefarshim claim all the time. Something came up, like Beno Slavkot, and he gave them Hilchis Yarshim and various other things. He asked a question, and the answer was given on a need-to-know basis. Okay, now it's time to learn that mitzvah. Yes?
So they had no divorce? They had no...
Oh, so you're asking the obvious, perfect. So the Abarbanel says, I mean, it just can't be. It's not right. You can't make that statement that all these mitzvahs were learned. All right, but what the Abarbanel does? What? But that's, yeah, there's all these things, but nevertheless, the problem is you can't tell me that all these mitzvahs, he didn't tell me, they got this, the mitzvahs on Har Sinai, all the mitzvahs, Moshe was three times, he spent 6 months of his life on Har Sinai, 120 days, three times 40 days on Har Sinai, you're going to tell me, or 4 months, you're not going to tell me he learned them. When he came down, it's Menabokim Ad Arev, he was sitting and teaching Klal Yisrael 613 mitzvos. Obviously, it had to be. The one thing that he says, that the reason we harp now, the one mitzvah that was really, he left for the very end, was Hatoris Nadar. And the parsha Matos Maseh, all of a sudden, so some of the parshim I know was what I thought was what happened, and he asked it also, but at least I could say Baruch Shekivanti, that the reason right now that we learned the Hatoris Nadarim was that they were about to go home to Kol Nikmas B'nei Yisrael Me'esa Midyonim Achar Te'osef Alamecha, and now a lot of people, you know, you're going into battle, you're going to war, you're putting your life on the line, you're in danger, and you start to make bargains with God. If you let me come back alive, I swear I'll do this, I promise I'll do this. And those are the things that happen to you. You start making promises. When you get back, all of a sudden, for a couple of weeks, you start to realize, oh, you know what, I promised. But it's hard to keep those promises. You come back and you know, they came back, 12,000 soldiers went out to war, and 12,000 soldiers came back with no injuries. It's incredible. So they were very thankful, but after a while, so Moshe said to Klal Yisrael, right now, listen, you make those promises, there's wiggle room. There's ways to get out of it if you didn't really mean it. You said it in the heat of the moment. Okay, certain things is lo yachel devoro. We're going to give you like a lemon law. You got 24 hours or one night to go back and say, okay, I didn't really mean it. I said it. I had the wrong machshava. If I would have known this, whatever it is, I didn't really mean to say what I said, and whatever it is, that's it. But he says that the reason Moshe did not want to teach Klal Yisrael this mitzvah, because as the Gemara in the Dorm says, basically you have in Perek Beis, when it starts to get into all these in the Dorm that don't really mean, Perek Beis or Perek Gimel begins with a long Mishnah, all these types of the Hawaii and various other Nadarim that don't really mean anything. Somebody comes into your store and sticks a gun in your head and say, give me all your money. And you say, I don't have any money. I can't open the safe. It's on a time lock. And you're lying. So, oh, you're even a very, you know, I, I should drop dead if I'm lying. You know, you say that. Does it really mean anything? Obviously, you're saying it under duress. You're trying to extract yourself from a very difficult situation. And you don't even have to go to be mefa neder. A lot in the dorm, you make a neder in the heat of the moment. And therefore, you have to go to be mataneda sometimes. You could be mataneda. What? Okay, so you have, but there are certain things that don't bother me. I know you never meant it. It was going in. It was just the cost of doing business. The Gemara gives an example. If somebody says, you come in and you say, that's going to cost, you have a guy walks into a business and says, how much is this? And the guy says, $10. And he says, well, this is not worth $10. It's only worth $7. And if I paid $9 for this, I promise I'm never going to give you this for less than $9. That's my bottom price. I'll never give it to you for less. And the other guy says, I'm not paying more than $8. I don't care what you say. In the meantime, I swear, it's different. I promise I can't sell it to you more than $8, and they come up and they make up for $8.50. So it's to say, you promised. Who says, that's the way business is done. People are just posturing for an advantage, and you don't have to be matinated for that. I understood that going in. But nevertheless, you have to be careful. And Moshe did not want to teach Klal Yisrael all the ways that there's wiggle room to say, because and it's again and again and again, the Torah says that a few times in the Chumash. So the problem becomes, this is what Moshe says at the beginning of Parshas Devarim also. He makes an incredible statement. He says, Gam biyis anaf Hashem biglalchem leimor gam matolo sov Hashem. And he's talking about the Maisim Meraglim. He says that God punished me and said you can't go into Eretz Yisrael because of the Maisim Meraglim. Well, obviously that's not the case. We know that it says because Yan Lo Hemantem Bila Hakdisheni Liyane Bnei Yisrael, it's three times in the Chumash, at least that I can remember offhand, three times when Hashem says to Moshe, the reason you're not going into Eretz Yisrael, Yan Lo Hemantem Bila Hakdisheni, says it in different ways, but he uses the exact same phraseology, that you're not going in because of the main Meriva, you hit the rock, and that's why you're not going to Eretz Yisrael. But Moshe says to Klal Yisrael in last week's Parsha, it says Gambias Anaf Hashem Biglalchem because of that. The problem becomes, so what is the reality of that Moshe Rabbeinu? So what we said weeks ago, I believe I had a chance to mention it then. Moshe put the idea in Klal Yisrael's mind. When God told him Shlach Lecha Anoshim, Yosura, Eretz Kanan, that's all God said. Go ahead and tour the land. Moshe went ahead and said to them, gave them a pischon peh, hechazok hu harofeh, hamat hu imrov. Moshe, in his instructions to Klal Yisrael, put the bug into their head, we're not going to tour. Moshe told us to find out if the land is a strong land, hatova hi imrov, if it's good or it's bad. Now I got a problem. So now they're thinking in terms of how to evaluate the land, or all these things, not just nice fruit, bad fruit, it's a beautiful land. Not to come back like a tourist from the word tour, but v'yach perulonu esar, it's like Yoshua says to the Meraglim when he sends them out to Rock, when he sends them out to Yericho. It's a different language. And Moshe was the one who put that thought into their minds. Very difficult situation over here. God said, because you did that, you have to pay. Because God made a promise. The Gemara in the Dharm says, what is the pshat? I mean, it's in not only in the Dharm, it brings down the pshat in another Masechta, I forgot which one. When we daven Friday night and we say, Abarim shono akut bedar v'omar am toei levo of haim, v'haim lo yodu d'rochoi, asher nishbati bi'api, I made this promise. That's the pshat in that pasuk. I swore that you aren't going into Eretz Yisrael. So the Abarbanel makes an interesting point. We know that you say something, so it's you pray to Hashem, there's a koach hatfila, and you could change gzera. So Moshe, v'eschanan al Hashem, v'eisahi leimor, in this week's parsha, and he prays to God. And God says, Al Tosef Daber Eli Od Badavor Hazeh Alei Rosh Hapisgah. So he says, the problem is, if this was Bein Adam LaMokom, Bein Adam LaChavero, if this was only Bein Adam LaMokom, you could pray to me, and I could be Matanei there, and I could say, I made a promise, but I will, the Koach HaTfilah can change the Gzera. Because that's our thought process. The problem is, this wasn't Bein Adam LaMokom. This was Bein Adam LaChavero. Bein Adam LaChavero, Tfilah doesn't help. You have to be Misratza to the people that you did the sin to. The problem is, the people that you sin are dying, the people from the Meraglim, because of what you opened your mouth and made that statement, and because of you, they all died in the Midbar, by Yitzof, by Yishavah, Lemar. I swore that this was Bein Adam LaChavero, and Tfilah will not help you. It just has no power to do anything. You have to ask the Dor HaMidbar for Mechila, and they're not around. They all died because of you. They died in the Midbar. You have to die in the Midbar. Very powerful statement over here. It's Bein Adam LaChavero. Because of you, they died in the Midbar. So what Rabbi Schwab makes an interesting statement, why it says, what is Bo'es HaHilemar? Why only at this point? So he says right there, because Moshe knew that either he or Aaron, when was the time Bo'es HaHi? It goes back to Parshas Chukas after the Mei Meriva, and Aaron dies. He says, Bo'es HaHi meant at that point in time, because the reality was, Moshe understood that a captain goes down with the ship. But Moshe felt that he and Aaron were co-captains. That somebody has to stay behind. Either he does, or Aaron dies. He accepted that. But if he were to pray beforehand and say, God, please let me stay, that would mean he's praying for Aaron to die and dying him to live in the Midbar. But once Aaron died, and now he's the one that's going to be buried in the Midbar, then all bets are off. Now Aaron is the one who's going to be the one left behind. He's going to be the captain who goes down with the ship, and I am free now to go into Eretz Israel. That's Rabbi Schwab. At that moment in time, I'm free to go into Eretz Israel. Yeah.
So if you take that turn of thought, why did Moshe ask for the field of Klai Yisrael?
But they were dead.
No.
At that time, he didn't know exactly what the thought process was going to be. God told him, in other words, these are things we find out a lot. What Devarim is good for, by the way, that all these mitzvos, according to what he says, is the Abarbanel says, because this is not what I didn't answer, what I started off. What the Abarbanel makes an interesting point, he says, of course, he taught Klal Yisrael all these mitzvos in the first 40 years. Nothing was left behind except for for Hataras Nedarim, but he says that it was only Eila Hadvorim Asher Diber Moshe Kol Yisrael. It's only the Tochacha that it's Mipi Moshe Rabbeinu, not the mitzvos. The mitzvos is Mipi Agvura. The mitzvos came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was Moshe Eila Hadvorim that it's Mishneh Torah that Moshe said to Klal Yisrael. The only things that came from the mouth of Moshe per se was the Divrei Tochacha. That's what Moshe added. That's all. The mitzvos, they were all learned beforehand. Now, what I wanted to add, what I didn't see the Barbanel say, so why is he repeating all these mitzvos, if they learned all of this, so we could have said it early on. But the fact remains that they learned all these mitzvos, but what is the reality of the situation? 603,550, give or take a few, that we see, that's what the Mefarshim tell us on the Pasuk, V'atem Advekim Bashem Elokechem Chayim Kulchem Hayom, means very simply, I just want you all to know, you made the cut. Anybody who's alive today, Chayim Kulchem Hayom. There's certain people who might have been over 20 when the Maisa Meraglim happened, and I said, Atom Kol Ador, Anshei HaMilchamol, Amos Mikervom, that you're all going to die, but the fact is, those who are alive now in the last year, don't worry. When Tisha B'Av comes, you're going to make it. Don't dig your graves. Everybody who's alive at this minute will be going into Eretz Israel. Nobody else is going to die anymore. So, what?
And you said that was too far off. They dug the grave.
Yeah, I understand. But so I'm just saying, but it says that last year already, whoever survived that point. But he says at the point over there that these people were going to go into Eretz Yisrael. The interesting point is over here, I just lost what I said before. So as soon as Moshe realizes now, V'eschanan al Hashem bo'esai hileymar, and God tells him, I don't want to talk about it anymore, because the truth is I made a promise and I can't break the promise, because it was Ben Adam Lachavero, not Ben Adam Lamakom. So you, Moshe Rabbeinu, what was the reality? You were telling me you don't want to go in, as the Medrash says, you don't want to go in as the Manig. You're happy, you just want to see, you want to see Eretz Israel, you want to be able to see. So he says, Al Tosef Dabarele, Old Badovarazeh, you want to see the land? Ale Rosh Hapisko, Visoi Necho, and you will see Yom of Akedah, Safona of Enecho, Rebe Necho. You'll take a look north, south, east, and west, and you will see the land, and that's what you wanted, that's what you got. I'm giving you that point. Yeah, go ahead. Oh, so that, yeah. So that's already your Gemara Kedushin already in the end of the first Perek. So you have very interesting. What is considered the whole Machlokis is what is Mitzvah Satluyos Baretz? When does it actually begin? After the 14 years? If you say it in one way, that means that, all right, so if you're going to say it's only after Kibush Haaretz, so you're going to tell me, where is that first time when it says V'hayo Kiviyacha? By tefillin and petarechem. So if you want to say it's by tefillin and petarechem, and it means that it says, so you're trying to explain to me that you didn't have to put on tefillin the first 14 years, they were in the midbar, they were in Eretz Yisrael, you didn't have to put on tefillin yet, because they didn't get into the land. When you get into the land, and Yarsh in the land, and you have a place to live, now all the mitzvahs begin. So, but what is mitzvah? What?
So?
Well, you think they didn't put on tefillin for the first 14 years?
Yeah.
No, the Gemara says that they did. The end result in the Gemara is that they put... Daf Mem. Take a look. You could look at... Not Daf Mem, sorry. Lamed Zayin, Lamed Ches. You have the whole Machloikis in what Mitzvot HaTluyos Baretz are and when it begins. There's five different ways to look at it. It's a long, very involved... You know, it drives you nuts. Yeah. All these things. When did it actually begin? Does it mean, and then when it says from that time forward, you have to do it, it's Bain Ba'aretz, Bain Bechutz La'aretz? All these things are involved in the year. It's too long for now. That's a separate Shia. But the point is, so that's the most unbelievable thing. But so what I mentioned to you Thursday or Friday, is that when we did in Parshas Matos Maaseh was the beginning of Parshas Maaseh. So all these things that happen, God is doing it for a reason and telling us. So when it says, Eile Maaseh B'nei Yisrael Asher Yatzub Mitzrayim V'Eile Maaseihem L'Motzoihem. It just said at the beginning, these are the travels of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, blah, 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 blah. And then it says, and these are the travels. So what he says also is a very interesting thought that I'm telling you now, because this is sort of a Tisha B'av Vart. Anything that happened in the Klal Yisrael, the 42 Masos, it's like when the names, what he makes a point of saying, sometimes we've had in the 42 Masos, it doesn't seem to be we recognize the name that is in the 42 Masos, and it seems in the Chumash, if you go back, it's called something else, and then Vayovo Elimo, and you know, it's this name is here, and then Maaseh is called this. Because in reality, he says, it's very simple. We have a regular thought process. We know cities have nicknames. And I mentioned, if I said it out just in a course, New Orleans is the Big Easy, New York is the Big Apple. So in Klal Yisrael, they gave nicknames to certain places because it triggered a memory to them. At that point, Klal Yisrael, it triggers a thought process. You say, you know, you've had 40 years, you're married, and you've gone on vacation, you say, remember, you just say one phrase, and it triggers a whole flood of memories, what happened in that place. So that's why it says Velovam v'chatzeros v'di zahav. I mean, what kind of places are these? Does that, so the Mishnah, you know, Rashi and all the other Mepharshim have to explain to us that this means this. V'di zahav means the egel. This means this. This means this. Because they had their own thought process of what means what at the time that it happened to them. They gave nicknames to all these places. So this is, you should know for the future. What happened to Bnei Israel, all these Maisalach, all these things that happened to you in the 40 years of your sojourn in the Midbar, all the occurrences, all the pitfalls that you went through, this is what your life is going to be. V'eile maseihem lemotsoihem. I'm telling you, what happened in the past, this is what's going to be. It's not a bracketing and saying it at the beginning of the pasuk, at the end of the pasuk. He's saying it means what all your experiences that happened, remember each one, remember the cause and effect of everything that happened at the time it happened, because this will be your future. B'ele maseihem lemotsoihem. This is what's going to be from now and forward from here.
History is going to repeat itself
if you don't watch what you're doing. And Moshe keeps saying it again and again in the Parsha and in Akev and Re'eh. The beginning, the Malbim makes an incredible statement at the beginning of Re'eh. It's Re'eh Nosati Lifnechem Hayom. He says, I showed it to you. He says, I'm telling you, if you do, the Malbim, it's a very, I was learning it with somebody in Israel one time and he got very upset. He says, that's not what it is. I said, open it up and read it. He says, he showed him blanket. He said to them, listen, I'm going to give you an itemized list of reward and punishment. Re'eh nosati lifnechem hayom. Why does the word re'eh, what's the point? I didn't write this down at all. I was just thinking when you're asking questions. Re'eh nosati lifnechem hayom brocho klala. I'm telling you, take a look. I'm going to give you handouts. Everybody handout today. You do this, this is what you're going to get for this. This is what you're going to get for this. You do something wrong, this is what's going to happen if you do this. Giving you a sheet, you can use it for reference later. Re'ein osati lifnechem hayom barocha uklola. You do something right, the reward for this mitzvah is thus and so. The punishment for this aveira is thus and so. And that's what he says. Re'ein, take a look. Here it is, official handouts, and I'm giving you a visual. I'm giving you that visual. Take a look and see. As long as I use the word visual just to learn a mitzvah that we learn, how do we know the whole thing from the difference of Torah Shabbat Pan, Torah Shabbat Ksav is a pasuk in this week's Parsha. What's the pasuk over there? I just jotted it down over here. Usmuna in chem ro'im zulasi kol. When you say at the end, towards the end of the Parsha, by the Aseret Hadibros, he's saying, listen to my voice. There are certain things that are written down and certain things that usmuna in chem ro'im. Don't look for pictures. Don't look for writing. In chem ro'im zulasi kol. You listen only to my voice. And the Gemara says, I think it's in Sota, I don't know. It says, Ein chem ro'im zulasi kol. Only my voice you're going to hear. That's a remez to Lasha, excuse me, to Torah Shabbat Peh. The one thing I just wanted to say before I forget is, because I had mentioned this, I might have mentioned this previously, a couple of years ago. I can't believe it's already 2.5 years that I'm here in the morning already. But it's hard to believe. Time flies. But the point is that this is from my son that he was mechaven to. It says, how come it says in this parsha, it's very interesting, it has, you know, there are certain parshas that everybody, you know, stand up, you know, you have the Aseret Hadibros, stand up. But there are certain very monumental things that we say in the Chumash from week to week, and every once in a while there's a handful that we say stand up, or very thing, you know, something that's very important to us. In this week's parasha, we have two things that are back-to-back unbelievable. You have Aseret Hadibros, which of course are a little bit different. There's 22 differences between the first time it said, and incredibly that the Gemara actually asked the question, which one were the authentic ones? The Gemara asked a question. I mean, which was the real Aseret Hadibros? And the Gemara says, are you kidding me? You're asking me, was it the first Aseret Hadibros or the second one? Of course, the Gemara, we come along, there's different Mandi Amrim, and say that the second Aseret Hadibros, which one was the real one? And that it was given, Moshe was giving a little bit of cause and effect you know, by certain mitzvahs over there, he added a little bit of his own, commentary. But and right afterwards, we have a little paragraph, and then it says Shema Yisrael. So you have those two things back to back. How come two such important, momentous paragraphs are in the one parasha itself? It's unbelievable. So with Shema Yisrael. So what is the problem? The problem is in the Aseres HaDibros. So you have in the first one one of the main differences between the first, second Aseres HaDibros, and the second is the first one says Zacharis Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosho. The second one it says a very famous vart Shamaris Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosho. How come it says these two things? And so the Gemara answers Zachar v'Shama v'Divarecha. It's all one thing. And so very good. But the problem is, I could understand that Zachar v'Shama v'Divarecha. But all of us here, if we heard Zachar v'Shama v'Divarecha, we would think that, yeah, I mean, I could hear they're sitting and learning in the back, and or I'm sitting and taking notes, Rabbi Levine is talking, and I'm listening with one ear, and I hear Rabbi Levine talking, I hear them talking, and maybe I get a little bit of both, but it's very possible to hear Shamar v'Zachar. I could hear it from two different people, and I'm thinking, I'm never going to think it's coming from one particular person. Even if you're a ventriloquist, you can't say two different things for one person. It's not within the realm of human reference. So you don't think like that. So right after we finish saying, we have that thought process, and we say that, you know, you might think it came from Shtei Rishuyos, you might think it came from two separate people, then you have to realize, so the first thing you say is, after you hear the Aseres HaDibros, is, you know what? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. All these things that we heard up to this point in time is coming from the same mouth. Shama v'zachar v'dibarecha. And he says, we say it every Friday night, obviously, when we say L'cha Dodi. So that's what Shlomo Alkabetz had in mind when he wrote the L'cha Dodi. He says, Shama v'zachar v'dibarecha. Hishmianu kelam yuchad, Hashem mechad u'shmo echad, L'shem u'seferes v'lishila. So he says that is the reason that we say Shema Yisrael right after the Aseres HaDibros, because the frame of reference for a human being is Shema V'Zachar. It can't be B'Dibarechad. I could hear two people talking at the same time, but that means I'm hearing two people in my mind. I can't fathom one mouth having the same two different words coming out simultaneously. It's not rational. And therefore, it's Shema V'Zachar B'Dibarechad. You have to say it Hishmianu Kelam Yuchad. And that's it. That's my son was Mechadish this. So, yeah.
I don't know if you're going to say the rest of the service of the Rosky on the first person, right?
What? Oh, yeah, this, thank you, because that's where I left off when I. Yeah.
It's Moshe Rabbeinu that's talking to Klal Yisrael, right?
No? He's saying Shema Yisrael, but this is, though, he's saying.
In the Aseres HaDibros.
Yeah. He added a few of his own commentary.
So how did he say it B'Dibarechos?
No, he, so the point is, God, yeah, so how did this happen? He's repeating it, but the point is, where I left off to say over here, when I digressed, I forgot, I didn't follow through what my thought was. So what is he doing, saying all these things to these people, if they learned all these mitzvahs beforehand, they learned the Aseres HaDibros beforehand, but they didn't, because all the people who were at Har Sinai, who survived to this point, were young. They didn't it didn't register in their minds the godless of Har Sinai, Matan Torah. Nobody was there. I did hear. So this is new people hearing it. So all these things had to be repeated in Mishnah Torah. That's why what I didn't finish the thought. I'm triggering. I didn't get your answer. But for 40 years, these people hadn't really heard as functioning adults who were responsible for themselves. It's a whole different, I remember what I said on Shabbos was, you know, you could get into a car, drive someplace every day for 5 years. You go once a week, you're driving this place. But you know what? You were a passenger in the car. You weren't the one driving. And you're a passenger, and somebody says, you get in the car, and somebody says, you've been there before, how do you go? You say, I don't know, I never really paid attention. Somebody else was driving. As long as you have your parents, your father's driving. I always remember what I used as an example was, because it was my father's yard site last week, I always, somebody would ask me a shaila, and most of the time I'd give a quick answer, you know, very simple shaila, and sometimes it really made me think, and I say, I don't know what to answer. Shabbos was over, I get to the phone, I call my father, I say, I have a shaila, what's the answer? And he would tell me, you know, this is where, if you want to know, it says it here, you open the Shulchan Aruch, this is what it is, and I'll tell you. Finally, it was the last year, but it was a few years before he was Nifta. I called him up one time and I asked him a question. He says, I'm not telling you. That's it. He said, I'm not giving you the answer. I said, what's the matter? He said, you're getting lazy. He said, you have a shaila. He asked me, he says, I'll tell you what I'll do. He says, it's in Shulchan Aruch Simen Samaches. You know, you look it up over here. I'll tell you, look it up, read it. If you don't understand it, call me back and we'll talk about it. And he said, you're getting lazy. And it's true, it was very true. And that's what happens. You're getting, you know, so if you're not paying attention, as long as you could be 30 years old, I could be 40 years old. It doesn't matter. I wasn't driving. I was paying attention only a little bit. As long as you're not in charge, somebody else, you're relying on your parents. So these people, they might have been 30, 40, 50 years old. They were relying on their parents. And now they needed to hear it as the responsible people to give it over to their children and their grandchildren. Of course, some of these people already who survived Matan Torah had grandchildren. They could have been 59 years old. They could have been, but they're not paying attention as long as their parents are alive. They're not in the driver's seat. And you realize the responsibility is, you know, it's like I couldn't say to my son, and he calls Zaida. You know, I don't know, call Zaida and he'll tell you what to do. Or as I started to do, somebody made me a joke. My uncle once said to me for a joke, and I said, I already did it. He said, you have a son when he has smicha, or, you know, I joked him. I said, my son knows more than I do already. And he says, so now somebody asks you a question you don't know, you say, oh, that's so easy, I let my son answer the question. So my uncle told me that. I said, I already did that. So, I didn't know the answer. I looked at Binyamin and I said, Binyamin, tell him the answer. And he did, thank God. So, you know, it's very funny, but that's the reality of life. Until you're in the driver's seat and have that responsibility, it doesn't happen. Yeah, what? So now you're saying, what did Moshe say at this point in time? So,
the first two were Mipiyad Wood.
Right.
And the next eight were Moshe.
Well, that was because they couldn't handle it, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu told them the last eight anyhow. So you want to know who said the first two? So we're just saying they heard the first time they heard Zoch of Hashomer, but Moshe is saying you don't know besides them. He could have said it to them now. The Torah has to list. So God is telling you, the first time I said Zohar, it's not going to say, the Sarasat Dibros can't say Shamar v'Zohar es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. It could. But it doesn't say that. So one place it says, all the answers are not going to be perfect, obviously. You know, like we say many times, the questions are better than the answers most of the time. But the problem is, so one time it says Zohar, and one time it says Shomer. So this is where we get all these limudim from. Why did God do it? But we can ask these questions because the Torah itself, as opposed to Nevi'im and Ksuvim, is perfect. God didn't have one extra letter in the Chumash, one extra dot. You know, it's like even the Mefarshim say in Parsha Shlach, why is Yoshua bin Nun, not Yehoshua ben Nun? Because he needed the two dots from Sorai to Sorah and all these things that comes out. So we need the two extra dots, so they had to drop the two from ben Nun. And to Bin Nun, it all comes out there. I mean, there's all these drushes that even every little is very different. It's a whole different story. One interesting point is Lo So Sifu Velo Sigru Mimen on this week's parasha. So I would understand to say Lo Sigru, it makes, obviously, Lo Sigru Mimen. I mean, you can't do, the Torah says 630 mitzvahs. I can't say do 612. Because very simply, you can't do less. But the problem is, sometimes I think if I'm going to push somebody too hard, maybe I could relax certain things. When I was teaching a lot of kids bar mitzvah lessons or various things, some of them asked me to stay with them after and work with them, give them a little halacha, the father would say. Sometimes I taught a kid a year after the bar mitzvah because the kid wasn't paying attention in yeshiva and they wanted to stay another year maybe. I didn't like to do that, but nevertheless I did. So I would discuss with my father that there are certain things that necessarily these kids didn't, to the point where I had one kid and the father said to me, what's this thing with tefillin? I said, what's this thing with tefillin? I hear you have to put on tefillin after your bar mitzvah. So I said, yes, you put on tefillin. He says, is he going to need it for Shabbos? I said, no, on Shabbos you don't wear tefillin. He said, then forget it. So the point is, these were the kids who initially that I was teaching, but the point is, so I would say, all right, let's, so my father would say, some of these kids, they wanted to, learn not just Av Torah, to lay in on Shabbos as well. He said, tell them you don't do that. They want to say Av Torah, okay, they were going to read from a Chumash Av Torah, not the worst thing, but to read on Shabbos, to lay in a Parsha, in the Chumash, you're not letting these kids doing it, say that's not, you don't start giving them a whole speech, tell you don't do that. There are rules and regulations, there are things that you, lines that you cross, and there are certain lines you do not cross. There's a line in the sand, lo sigri yumi menu. So, but I would think maybe, lo so sifu, I want to make, we all do, we have a ged that we want to make, I make a promise, the Gemara says you could make a promise, why could you make a promise on a mitzvah, on top of a mitzvah, you want to make a promise to instill a greater fear to do it. You made a promise not to do so. The Torah says you can't do it. Just the opposite. The Torah says, the Gemara in the Dharm says, or in Kedushin, in the Dharm it says, if you make a promise that I'm not going to do this mitzvah anymore, it's lo hayev lo nivra. It does, the Mishnah says it doesn't matter. You're ploppling. It's like you didn't say anything. Because you can't make a promise. You can't swear that I'm not going to do this mitzvah. I'm not going to put on, I don't care. Somebody told my tefillin apostle, and I've been wearing apostle tefillin for a year. You know what? I give up. I'm not putting on tefillin anymore. Finished. I swear I'm never going to wear another pair of tefillin. So does that mean that you have to go be mataneda? Forget it. You can't make a promise like that. You can't make a shvu. You can't make a promise that you're not going to do something that the Torah says you have to do. It's a worthless statement. That's the same way, but you can make a promise to instill a greater level of zihirus to do a mitzvah that you could make a promise that you're going to do. So you can make gedarim. You want to make yourself gedarim. But the fact is, lo so sifu, be very careful when you want to make yourself to watch out and make sure you don't do it, you make something hard. Because you want to do something for yourself is one thing. But the problem is that we all know today what happens in the world. We add things and you start to foist your value system on other people. And when you start to foist your value system on other people, you're saying, oh, that's the halacha. That's the way it is. And it's not the way it is. You have to explain. Good. I'm glad you're listening.
What your father said, I understand. There's a boy who you're teaching bar mitzvah lessons to.
Yeah, to have Torah.
Don't teach him to.
Yeah, there are certain things. Be careful. There are lines that you can't cross. You want to do less.
What?
Because he wasn't a Shomer Shabbos. He didn't want a Shomer Shabbos. I know that in my shul, the gabbai that was there for a long time until a few years ago when he was in his 90s and he was nifta, I didn't notice it right away. When I davened in the shul a few times previous to my going there, I just would stop by once in a yovel there. But I noticed he made a hosafas every week. He would make one or two hosafas. And what he did was, there were a couple of people in the shul who weren't Shomer Shabbos, and I know the only Ali, it didn't dawn on me right away, but I figured it out after a while of watching this, that these people, he only gave them an Aliyah after the Shiva crew.
So
he gave everybody, the people in the shul that he knew were Shomer Shabbos, and then he didn't. What brought it to mind was because all of a sudden when they had a new president and when they went psicha for Yom Kippur to take out the Sefer Torah by the thing, so the president got up there and announced that we honor so-and-so to get up there and hold with Sefer Torah from the Bima, and in the middle of shul he exploded. This guy You can't. What are you kidding me or what? You know, he goes to a diner on Shabbos to eat. You know, this particular guy. To what? Yeah, no, no. Read the maftir. Fine. That's it. They're up on the whole thing. It's not. It's not. You're making an aliyah. It's not a shiva kriyim over things like that. But if you're going to teach him tilei, no, don't teach him tilei. Tell him, just tell him, but you don't want to insult him, but just tell him, no, I can't, I don't know how to do that, you know. The maftir is another story. Yeah, you can tell you, they'll teach him to read the maftir, yes. Not that it's the best of scenarios, but it's better than laning and giving, like I saw the Gavai over here. He gave this one particular guy, gave him achron every Shabbos. You know, whenever he gave him an aliyah, gave him achron. He didn't give him from the Shiva crew. He never called up these guys for one of those, the major kibbutzim, he didn't give him. One guy, the interesting thing was, I mean, just as a sidelight, one of the people in my shul came over to me and said that when he goes to his daughter in Cleveland, she davens in a, I don't know if it was reformed or conservative, probably conservative only. I don't see that we do this in the shul. I have, they give me this kibbutz over here, I get a very special psicha. They only give me this particular psicha, and I don't see that we ever do it. And I don't know what it is, and I was trying to figure out what this is that we don't do. It seemed after talking to him like 3-4 weeks, a little bit at a time, I finally pieced it together. When he came, he went there for Yontif, and when they said Hallel, when they got up to Piskul Yisharei Tzedek, they sent this guy up in that shul over there. They went psicha, because it said on the, you know, the on the parochas, it said Piskul Yisharei Tzedek, and when they said Piskul Yisharei Tzedek, they called up honor Mr. So and So with psicha for Piskul Yisharei Tzedek, and that's what they did. So lo sig lo so safe love. Be careful what you do. You know, certain things seem like they're not important things, but be careful when you do things. There are lines that you do not cross. And so lo so safe love, lo sig rumi menu. The Torah God said, I have rules, and believe me, the longer you live, the more you will see the reasons for each one. So we got back over there. So how come if Moshe said Gam atolo sova biglalchem Gam bi hisanaf Hashem? What is Gam bi? Not only Klal Yisrael, but of course. So what happened? The reality is that Aaron was also didn't go in because of the Chet HaMeraglim. But of course, in the the Mei Meriva, it says that God, you know, you and Aaron. So of course, Rabbi Schwab says that what was Aaron guilty of? Because it says Vayaches Hasela b'Mateyu Pamoyim. After Moshe hit the rock the first time, he didn't say, "What are you doing? Hey, what are you doing? God told you to talk to the rock." V'dibartem el Hasela. So how come you shouldn't have let him hit it the second time? So what I wanted to add this on my own, what caused Aaron not to say it? So what was the reason that for Moshe it was the Chet HaMeraglim that caused him not go into the land? The reality was it was the Chet HaMeraglim that caused him to not go into the land. And what was the reason that the hitting the rock was what God said? Because God always gives you a second chance. And so he gave Moshe the second chance, but when Moshe, even though the original decree was not to go in because of the Meraglim, when he got a second chance, Vayaches Hasela b'Mateyu Pamoyim, he says, I gave you another chance. You blew it. So now you're not going in. What was Aaron's reason for not going in? I mean, you blame him because what happened by the angel? Is Asher or Aaron? The last word, I mean, you have to take it very seriously. Because as much as we blame Klal Yisrael and Kishloshes Alfei Yish died and various things of that nature, but the reality was the parsha ends on the angel. Asher or Aharon. It was Aaron that was guilty of the egel. Nobody, it puts it squarely on his shoulders. And that's why the Gemara says that Nadav and Avihu died, and Elazar and Itamar were also decreed to die, but since Moshe interceded and he said, but you know, not the Ravi, okay, or whatever it is, but Elos and his son are married with children, and why should the wife suffer? And God took that under advisement, says, I understand the wives don't deserve to be almanis, and the children don't deserve to be yisomim. So I'll let Elazar and Isamah, this is the Gemara, I think it's in Baba Basra, that says that, you know, Shalom Nasu Nashim, that's why Nadav and Avihu died. They had nobody that depended on them. Nobody depended on them. Which is one of the reasons, by the way, when we finish a Gemara, you say Hadron Allah, you immediately start the next Gemara. Because if you don't, okay, time to go, you finished, everything is done. No. I started the next Masechta, you got to let me finish. I just began a new Masechta. So that's what you're doing. You write it when you're finishing, you're starting the next one again. That's the reason. You don't want to let go of a situation where somebody doesn't need you. You're teaching a Gemara. I'm in the middle. I'm on Daf Beis. It's Gemara Baba Basra. Got 174 block. I hope in 3 years I'll finish it. I don't know. Maybe. What? 176, excuse me. Yeah. But we don't count that. Very good. Yeah. No, go ahead. What? Go ahead. What? What?
You don't count the Shabbat?
You don't count the Shabbat.
Yeah, because the Shabbat is
175. All right. So, I mean, there's plenty more, but all right. So, we'll save it for another day.
On the spot like that, unbelievable.
You started off with the game of the fist on the bed.